Standard Road runs between Mono Way and Tuolumne Road. It passes by an old train depot, which is now Nature's Whole Food Depot, an old gas station, which is now a coffee shop, and the old lumber company headquarters, which is now Standard & Poor Restaurant. Let's go inside and find the owner. I'm talking with Eric Davis here, who is the owner of the Standard Poor and is very much committed to using local agricultural products and serving very good food. Good morning, Eric. I'm glad to see you. I know you might be busy right now because it's almost lunchtime, but maybe you can talk to me for a few minutes about your commitment to local food.
Sure. I'd be happy to, Alan. It's good to see you, too. I've always had a very strong commitment to local food on so many levels. It's funny, but when we get into these conversations about what does it mean to be sustainable, exactly how do we define these things and why are they important? First, I think for me as a chef and a restaurant owner, someone who's serious about food, there's a qualitative issue. I firmly believe that local is better. And then all those issues that you think about for flavor, and whether they're sustainable or not, the love that is put into those products through local farmers is unmistakable in a qualitative way. I love local for another reason. Being a business owner, it's important for us to fold in economic sustainability as well. And when a vigorous restaurant supports local farmers, you realize you're encouraging them to continue their good work and helping them sustain their business model. And that means a great deal to me. For some people, it kind of centers around whether it's organic or not. I do believe that organic is better. I believe that biodiversity matters. So all of a sudden, we're getting away from perhaps that first thought of center of the plate food, but we're starting to think about why biodiversity matters. So for so many people, an heirloom tomato is just flat out tastes better. But for a lot of people, when we think about what it means to have that diversity in seed stock, for some people, you know, local is about supporting the people around you. It's about a carbon footprint. So now we're not impacting the environment in a negative way by shipping, say, a kiwi halfway around the world. That matters a great deal. And all of these elements sort of come together to define to me what it means to buy local. But the ripples are more than just about the flavor of a tomato or an apple.
Do you have much difficulty finding locally produced food?
Not so much now. I've been a chef and restaurateur in Sonora for over 25 years now, and I will say that in the beginning of my career here, when we first opened, for example, the Diamondback Grill, I had to establish some relationships with some farmers, and they were so deeply committed that we built really nice relationships. Now, so many years later, we have established long-term relationships, and there are more and more growers here. Currently, we work with Blue Oak Farm, Red Earth Farm. I love the work they do. But all you need to do is go to our farmer's market, which is really vigorous and of high quality. I've gone to farmer's markets all over, and I can confidently state that our farmer's market is very, very good for a community of our size. So all of a sudden, we have local honey, and we buy that for the restaurant. A handful of growers that take care of us very, very well. Of course, you've got local grass-fed beef here locally that we've availed ourselves of a lot over the years. It's much easier now. Now I can get a text every week telling me what's available. I can order it by text, and I have it in a day, and it's all vine-ripened.
Blue Oak and Red Earth are vegetable growers, fruit growers, melons, and so forth. That's seasonal. How does that affect your menu?
That's a great question. I mean, one of the things, no matter how committed you are as a restaurant operator, the realities also dictate to us certain limitations. And with real beautiful local produce, it's very, very difficult to brand it on a menu because of availability. And that's as simple as one week to the next, things change. So for us, we try to stay a little bit light on our feet by utilizing specials. So most of the local produce that we buy, we will fold into a special dish that will end up on our chalkboard. That way, when we run out of whatever that dish is or the fundamental ingredient in that dish, we erase the chalkboard and we move on to the next thing. Gives us great flexibility, and it responds to seasonality as well.
Nice. Have you been able to talk to a grower and request a particular fruit, vegetable, melon that grower wouldn't otherwise grow? Have you done that?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, I love this example of many years ago, back at the Diamondback, Galen from Blue Oak Farm came to me with his seed catalog and said, hey, you see anything in here you want to do, we'll support you with it and we'll produce it. So we did a handful of things, but the most famous success was Padron chilies. I said, boy, I've been reading a lot about these. I've gone to San Francisco and picked some up from time to time. Why don't you grow me some of these? Let's play with these. The way we prepare them and the way they're most usually prepared is quickly sautéed in olive oil, sprinkling of sea salt, and they're sent out as a bar snack. And that's exactly what we did. Very, very quickly, the customers of mine would go to a farmer's market and hit up Galen and Katrin for Padron chilies. They have grown them ever since, and they've become a massive success here locally, for not just for my restaurant, but for them to sell them at farmer's market to local people. So that's a great example of the farmer working with us as opposed to the other way around.
What about eggs? Well, let's start with eggs, but I'm also curious about the difficulty of getting consistent meat
year-round.
Now, obviously, eggs and meat can be provided year-round, but volume might be an issue.
Volume's an issue. Currently, I have my own chickens. This dedication to sort of sustainable, and we really do live it. So any of our organic waste that we have through prep in the morning, we make almost everything from scratch here. I take home and offer it to my chickens, so they'll get bread scraps, lettuce scraps, tomato scraps, this kind of thing. They don't always meet my whole need, but I augment my egg use here with my own chickens, although prior to having my own chickens, we did buy from other local producers. Meat, it is a challenge. Obviously, a lot of restaurants, for example, they might want a particular steak. On my menu, let's say if I'm Chef John, I've got a New York steak, and I just want to buy New York steaks, but obviously a rancher is growing animals, not steaks. So what we always try to do, we'd buy a whole animal, have it broken down, and utilize that true nose-to-tail approach. Even the offal, the organ meats, we would try and find ways to fold that into our specials. Even the bones for stock, using everything we possibly could. So as opposed to saying, look, I just need you to sell me New York steaks, we look more to what we would call wholesale cuts, or actually buy the whole animal. But at the end of the day, this restaurant, much like when I had the Diamondback Grill, is fundamentally a burger restaurant. So we're going to sell way more burgers than any local rancher can supply to me. So again, it's about augmenting other suppliers. You know, I think it works real well as long as we stay light on our feet.
So you have to have a lot of flexibility in order to meet your goals. Let me ask you about herbs. I haven't seen many herbs at the farmer's market. Are there people growing herbs that are available to you?
There are. You'll definitely see basil. You'll see a lot of that. See some cilantro with the Asian booth there at the market. They're a handful, so they're definitely there. For me personally, though, we grow our own herbs here. We have beds that we planted here once we took over 6 years ago. So we access our own oregano, mint, thyme, sage, all in our kitchen garden right out back.
What's the greatest challenge to meeting your goal?
Well, we've kind of touched on it. And challenge is a good word, because I don't see it as a problem, but I do see it as a challenge. That if I had my druthers, everything we produce here, every single dish, would fundamentally be both local, organic, sustainable. But the realities are, and happily, I'm a very successful restaurant, which means we have very high volume. That becomes the challenge, is how do I continue to integrate and support local, organic, sustainable growers, recognizing that they cannot, under any circumstances at their size, be able to sustain me day in and day out around the seasons. That's the biggest thing. I wish it could be more, but we have to be successful as well, financially viable as well. Balancing those two things is important to me.
I didn't want to get into particulars of finances, but there must be a balance between what you can charge the customer and what you pay for the produce or the meat. I know that generally the local produce and local meat is a little more expensive than what Sysco might shove across the kitchen floor. But then on the other hand, you can't charge your customers too much. You found a balance here. Is that difficult to do? Or
I think it absolutely is a consideration, and it can be a rub. And I think a lot of restaurant operators simply don't want to go there. It's easier for them to have everything brought through their major distributor through the back door, and price is part of that. What I did way back when is I dipped my toe in those waters. I really knew I wanted to go there, but I didn't know what that threshold of resistance to the notion of organic and sustainable and to the price point of organic and sustainable would be with my customers. What I found, and I have to admit I was a bit surprised, is that actually became a selling point to my restaurant. People actually made the trip to visit us and dine with us and happily would spend more for products that they knew the provenance to. They might, in a small community like ours, they might actually know the families that are growing it, and they were equally as committed to all the things that mattered to me. And so price all of a sudden was much less of a problem than I thought it was going to be. You still have to be mindful of it if you want to be here next year and the year after. You can't throw your money away or drift into cost ratios that aren't sustainable financially. But I've found that people actually are very, very eager and happy to spend a little more. So it actually has worked out well for us.
Are you have plans to open another restaurant?
At this age, no. Got other ideas that I'd like to pursue. Now I do actually want to spend much more time focused on qualitative issues as opposed to quantitative. And so I've got other ideas of things I want to play with, curing meats and preserving some of this great produce on my own. I've been baking tons of bread so that I keep my hand in the food and wine business at a qualitative level. And so that might be in my future.
Do you still work in the kitchen very much? Or
I do.
You do?
But I don't work on the hotline. I'm in the kitchen every day, but depending on what the needs are, that will dictate how long I'm there. So I'm still involved in, say, cutting and portioning fish, and I drive the specials still, where I decide, particularly this time of year, how are we going to fold this beautiful produce into specials, developing recipes, training younger staff.
Well, then you go back there and have fun. People start wanting in here pretty soon looking for something to eat, so I should let you go and get back to work. I enjoyed talking with you.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you too, Alan. Thank you. I'm flattered that you would come see me. It's an honor.
Well, I'm pleased to do it. Thank you, Eric.
You bet.